as an introduction, there's only a few verses there, aren't there, really? Mm-hmm. But there's an awful lot in it. What we're going to do is this week, we'll look at the resurrection, and next week we'll look at the signs of the return of Jesus. That's the second, next part in chapter 5. But I just wanted to share with you this idea of a bicycle wheel. It makes me think of the Bible in many ways. Sounds a strange thing, doesn't it? But the spokes are all individual spokes. Different scriptures, different things like that. But what holds them together is the central hub. That's Jesus. He's the centre of it all. And the outside rim. And that's how God works out the details. So we find the fulfillments beginning to focus on the spokes, but they'd all lead to Jesus. Just give you a little example. What I mean by that is, if you think about the Passover, where the instruction was that the bones of the lamb were not to be broken. So that's an individual scripture. It just seems a bit disconnected. But when we get to the New Testament, we find as Jesus is crucified, they didn't break any of his legs. John picks that up. He's saying that scripture from all 1,500 years beforehand now has connected with what's just gone in front of our eyes. And of course it all links up because of Jesus. So the providence of God, how it worked out, then ties in with the prediction about Jesus. What we're looking at today is introducing us to some parts of the Bible which take a bit of understanding. It's prophetic. Quite a lot of it is prophetic still. And you may be well aware that different people have different views. I want to share you my view because I think it's the right one. But I would do, wouldn't I? But there are plenty of other godly people who have different views and so on. But we all want to try and be faithful to what the scripture says. That's the important thing, yeah? But there are some things, and because it's future, it's not always easy to quite figure out. My daughter Rebecca had an interesting thought I was talking to her this morning. And she says, you know, Dad, the older I get, the more I think, as far as the things at the end of time are concerned, is God has not told us everything because he doesn't want the devil to figure it out.
Yeah.
So that might be part of the answer, I don't know. Yeah. But anyway, Daniel had the same problem. Daniel, a long time ago, but God showed him things about the future, way into the future. And Daniel says this at the end of his prophecy, I heard, but I did not understand. Ah, well, we're in the same boat sometimes.
Yeah.
So I asked, you've got to ask the Lord, my Lord, what will the outcome of all this be? And he replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end. Wow. Well, Daniel, you've got to wait, because you won't know until the time at the end. And that's the case with some of the things that we're looking at today, and particularly next time as well. So we'll start with this interesting passage in Thessalonians chapter 4. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. And Paul has got to at last the main reason as to why he wrote the letter, because he'd heard that some of these poor souls in Thessalonica were struggling. They'd got problems because what had happened was, and these are the facts of the situation, within the space of the 3 weeks that he'd been there and left, maybe just a month or two at the most now, in that space of time, some believers had already died. I call that the 11th hour conversion. Just as well Paul got there in time for them to believe before they died. 11th hour conversions are okay, but you know, better to be in the Lord's family fairly early on. But anyway, some of the believers had died. That was the basic cause of their problem. Because, also, they were very, very excited about the return of Jesus. They were expecting his return very soon. That's what they thought was going to happen, that Jesus was almost immediately going to be coming and returning. So they got a problem because they're confused about what part these believers would have in the return of Jesus. And part of that is the consequence of their background as pagans. I don't know if you're aware of this, but it's true today, isn't it? The pagans always think that when you're dead, that's it.
Yeah.
And that's one of the thoughts that they may have carried over. You know, when you become a Christian, you don't get your thinking completely straight all of a sudden, you know. It's be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that can take some doing. And some of the old baggage was still there, I suspect, in their thinking. And so they think, they've died, they're going to miss out. That was their thought, and so Paul is going to answer that for them. That's the reason why Paul's writing this letter. The things they need to know, yes, so that they won't be ignorant. Number one is that death for the believer, he describes as sleep. I don't want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. Why does he use the word sleep? Because sleep is temporary. You know, that's the idea. You've died, but that's not the end. It's a temporary sleep. That's a rest of sort of thing. The reason why he describes it as sleep, he says, is basically the believer's body is laid to rest. That's right, isn't it? Yes. The believer's body is laid to rest, but the believer's spirit returns to God's presence. The believer goes to be in the presence of the Lord immediately that they die. It's not about soul sleep. I don't know if you've come across that, but there are some that teach, you know, when you die you go to sleep and you wait until the end. Not true. It's not true, and there are two verses. I've got one here, the other one is Paul. I long to be with Christ, which is better by far. Well, if it's better by far, he won't be asleep, I'm sure of that, yes? But we have this one in Hebrews, which I think is the brilliant one. And he's saying, you have come, all these believers, you have come to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. So he's describing the spirits of those who have died, have gone to be with the Lord, and now their spirits are perfect. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And if their spirits are perfect, he's telling us they're alive and well. They're worshipping the Lord, they're serving the Lord without any problems of sin or all of that trouble that we have here on earth. Good to look forward to, yes? So he's saying is, now I want you to know, those have fallen asleep. They're not lost.
Yeah.
We know exactly where they are, they're with Jesus. So they've not got lost, be sure of that. They're okay. And he also wants to tell them, I want you to, brothers, to know this, because I don't want you to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. There is a place for grieving, isn't there?
Yes.
When you lose someone who's been so much a part of your life, someone who's precious, you know, it's a hard thing. And in many ways, I think we may need to grieve more for ourselves than for the person that's gone. I mean, we just think of our dear sister Gwyneth. Yeah, I think Gwyneth's probably having a pretty good time now. And it's us that's missing her.
Yes.
We grieve, but we don't grieve like those who have no hope, because we know we're going to see one another again.
Yes.
That's
yes.
The good news. But he's saying that's how it is with the rest of men. The world is very much like that. When you're dead, that's it. He calls them a no-hope people who have no hope. And they are in this world, and they say, this is all there is. And I've just got a few names for you there. Richard Dawkins,
yeah.
David Attenborough. I find it astounding that a man who's seen so much astounding things in the creation could still think that it's all an accident. Unbelievable, but it just shows its revelation, brothers and sisters. God opens your eyes. It's not because you're smart. I'm not saying you're not smart, but you know what I mean. You've got the idea, yeah? But it wasn't just the pagans. There were part of the Jewish community who were very much the same. They called them Sadducees. They were the liberals of their day. And you got the joke, haven't you? They didn't believe in the resurrection, and that's why they were sad, you see, of course. They say there is no resurrection. They only say, because they don't know. That's the point. The truth is, Jesus did know, and obviously confounded them with their silly little story that they came to him. But you say, people who don't have any hope about the future are shattered by a loss. That's the tragedy of it.
Yes.
He says, but I don't want you to be like that. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And he starts with the foundation truths of our gospel. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. Do we believe?
Yes.
Jesus died and that's good then. We're okay. Yes. We're on good ground then.
Yes.
He says that that's important to know that, because he's reasoning from that. If this happened to Jesus, then if you are joined to Jesus by faith, then what happened to Jesus will be what's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
That's the link. You're joined to Jesus. And so he says, these things happen to Jesus, and for Jesus, death is not the end.
No.
I remember a chap some years ago saying, you know, you can't say we'll be dead, that's it. Nobody's ever come back to tell us.
Yeah.
To which I said, one has.
Yeah.
And one's enough.
That's right.
In fact, there's more than one. We know that, don't we? Yeah. But one's come back, and he's told us that's not the end of it, of course. Death is not the end. We believe that Jesus died. And it's interesting how Paul uses the word died for Jesus. He doesn't say Jesus slept. And I just read this in one of the commentaries. I thought that was a really interesting thought. The death for Jesus was not asleep at all. It was a terrible thing that he went through in order to gain salvation for us, wasn't it? But he said at the end of it, today you will be with me in paradise. So, anyway, if we're united by faith to Jesus, then these things follow. What's he going to say? We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. When God brings Jesus back, that's what he says there. Father is going to be part of the return of Jesus as he raised his son from the dead as well. Mm-hmm. And when God brings Jesus back, then those who have died believing in him will, something will happen to them. They'll come with him. Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. It says God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. So I've translated that to my way of putting it. God will bring with Jesus the glorified spirits of believers.
Yeah.
Those that have been with the Lord, the glorified spirits of believers who have died on earth. So when Jesus comes back, the believers who have died come with him. Their spirits come with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Amongst other things, as we'll see, yes.
Yeah.
Interestingly, the early Christians really got this. I mean, like the people in Thessalonica did, they really got this. They knew that when they died, they'd go to be with Jesus, and when Jesus comes back, they're going to be reunited. So they called their burial places cemeteries. And do you know what the word cemetery means?
No.
It means a dormitory.
Oh, does it?
Yes. It's a dormitory. In other words, we've just been popping in for five, we'll be out soon. That was their faith. They believed that, and of course it's still true. So we believe that. So according to the Lord's own word. Now Paul is making this absolutely clear. I mean, he's an apostle.
Mm-hmm.
He has the authority to say this is what the Lord wants you to do. And yet he's quoting our Lord on this one. He's saying, if you want it underlined triple, this is the word of God. And it's not our idea. And the question is, according to the Lord's own word, when did Paul hear this? Or where did he get it from? I've got this, when did Jesus say it? I've got one, I'm going to look at these two passages. When Jesus was here on earth, he said things about this.
Mm-hmm.
And he also spoke to Paul in Revelation in Arabia. We read that in Galatians. So we'll look at those two passages. The first one in John, I think, is quite astounding, really. And it says, it's quite a long bit, but we'll get through it here. This is Jesus speaking. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged because he has crossed over from death to life. Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Oh, those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. So here we have in this passage of Jesus some really interesting thoughts. Number one I'd like to say is that Jesus offers an alternative spiritual interpretation to resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Because he says the time has now come already when the dead will hear and live.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he was talking about dead physically there.
No.
He's talking about dead spiritually. As he talks in his letter to the Ephesians, you know, once you were dead in your transgressions and sins, but God has made you alive in Jesus. So there's a spiritual bit about resurrection. That's one of the things. But he also talks about the time is coming when it's obviously a physical resurrection he's talking about there, because he says the time's coming when those who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out, and there's going to be, as he describes it there, it seems, and this is where we get into the interesting bits, this seems like it's the general resurrection of the dead. When Jesus comes back, according to this, he calls up the dead, the good uns go to be with him, and the bad uns go to hell. They're judged, That's the general resurrection of the dead. Now, Revelation offers an interesting thought on that, but we won't go into that today. That's another thought at the moment. So, Jesus is talking about the resurrection. That's really what he's saying. The time's coming when the dead will live. And that's what Paul wants to remind these Thessalonians about. Jesus' own word is, the dead aren't done for, the dead will live. That's number one. But I think there's another bit more that Paul obviously had some more detail given to him by Jesus. And he says this, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. And this appears to have been in Arabia when Paul went there on his own. The Lord revealed all sorts of things to him, it would seem. Things, some of the things, I suspect that he wasn't allowed to tell. The Lord was blessing him. But I think he might have got some of this from the Lord about the return there. But he definitely says, I got it from the Lord, wherever he got it from, at what time. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive and are left till the coming of the Lord, and then there's a bit more to go, but I'll give you the first part of the sentence. We tell you that we who are still alive, he says there, we who are still alive and are left till the coming of the Lord. So that tells me there will be believers around when Jesus comes back. Yes? So you can answer the question that Jesus asks in Luke 18 verse 8 when he says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? And according to that verse, the answer is yes. Of course there's a great falling away, it would seem, but the answer is yes. There are believers, there's got to be, for Jesus to come back to them. And the second thing is that Paul hopefully included himself in that group, didn't he? We who are alive, he says we, including himself. So Paul thought he might be in the group. And the reason he did that was he was alive at the time.
Yes?
Well, I mean, he didn't know when Jesus was coming back. And so, if Jesus says I'm coming soon, well, it might be in my lifetime. So I can say we. We can all say we. Down the centuries we can still say we, because we don't know. We'll have a look a little bit more of that next time. But yeah, that's why Paul says, we who are alive. It's not that he got it wrong. He's that he's trusting that the Lord knows what he's doing, but I might be in on it.
Yeah.
That's all he's saying, yeah. We will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Right, so we won't have an advantage over them. That's what he means by precede. Yeah, we're not going to get an advantage over them. In fact, if, as we read this, it looks like those that have died in Jesus have a front row seat.
Yeah.
You know, but there we are. He's making it quite clear to these Thessalonians, those of your brothers and sisters who've already gone to be with the Lord, they won't miss out. You can be certain of that. And this is Paul's answer to their fears for their brothers and sisters who died. They're certainly not going to miss out on the spectacle and the glory and the wonder of it all. So they can rest in peace until Jesus comes back. And then he says this, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. Now, I don't know about you, but all those three things sound jolly loud to me. Whether they're all one thing at once, or whatever, I'm not sure, but we'll have to wait to hear, won't we? But the thing that stands out here is that the return of Jesus will be audible as well as visible. When he comes back, he said, you know, it's like lightning from the east to the west, you'll see him. But it also says here, you're going to hear, right, big, big sound. And of course, the trumpet in the Old Testament was the call to battle, but also call to assembly as well. And I think both happened in that, as I'm speculating again. I think Jesus comes to judge, but also Jesus comes to call his children to himself, as we see. And that's what Paul's concentrating on here, of course. The voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, the Lord will come down from heaven. So he's leaving heaven and coming with the spirits of the believers, and he's coming with angels as well. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And they'll rise first as the priority. But I've just one question, that how time works when the Lord comes back is going to be interesting. Because as we'll see in a few moments, when the trumpet sounds, the dead are raised, and believers who are alive are changed in the twinkling of an eye. So it almost sounds simultaneous. But Paul's making it clear, the dead in Christ get their first bit. That's it, yeah? They'll be raised from the dead. And we read in Corinthians, he must reign until he's put all his enemies under his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. So for believers that have died, death is now going to be destroyed, because they're going to be raised from the dead. And as Jesus comes back with these spirits, what does he do? He raises their bodies to be reunited with the spirit. Now the body that he raises is the resurrection body.
Yeah.
It's not the old you and me that were in the grave or whatever, yeah? Right, that's a really important point to bear, yeah? It's the brand new body, but it's still your body. That's that. God's amazing, you know, how's he going to do that?
Uh-huh.
Well, he knows your, I've said this before, but I'll say it again, yeah? He knows your blueprint. He knows how you put together. Your chemistry changes from week to week. You knew that, didn't you? I mean, you're losing skin all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so your chemistry's changing all the time, but what makes you is how it's all put together. God's got the blueprint. And so he can rebuild you even if you disappear down the plug. Yeah? So he rebuilds this resurrection body like Jesus' body. There's something different about this. What was different about Jesus' body? His resurrected body? Well, the disciples saw him and said, come on, it's real, you can feel me, I'm not a ghost, you know, I'm real. But if you walk through the wall, disappear, he can be there, but they don't know it.
Yeah.
You know, there's something different about this resurrection body, which we'll have too.
Wow.
So this glorified spirit that comes from heaven with Jesus is now reunited with the resurrection body. Great. And the dead in Christ rise first, and then Paul, in the letter to the Corinthians, and I just thought we ought to look at this a little bit, Paul answers the question that you might have in your own mind. Someone will ask, how are the dead raised and what kind of body will they come? Well, I've tried to answer that bit a little in some ways. It's a resurrection body, of course. But how are the dead raised and what kind of body will they come? And Paul tells them, you know, it's a bit of a daft question, really, because what you see now isn't how it's going to be. But he says this, the body that is sown is perishable. Don't we know it?
Yeah.
It is raised imperishable. Amen. It is sown in dishonour. We're very humble creatures as humans, little ants, you know. Yeah. It's sown in dishonour. It is raised in glory. Top of the creation, eh? Yeah. It's sown in weakness, and we know that one. It is raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. The new you is going to be something, eh? It's going to be worth looking forward to, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen to those who've already gone to be with the Lord. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So, the question I've added there is, what happens to those who are still alive? We've just found out what happens to those who have died. They get resurrection bodies to be reunited with their glorified spirits. Well, what happens to us? Well, you are going to have to be changed before you can get there. Because you are still this weak, fallible, dishonoured creature. Right? And you've got to be a resurrected creature with a glorified spirit. And he says here, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. That means die, of course, yeah? We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. That's the living ones now. Not the ones who've been raised from the dead, yeah? In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, ta-da! We just heard that one, Jesus coming back. At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, we've seen that, and we will be changed.
Wow.
In other words, you won't recognize yourself. Our bodies will be changed instantaneously to a resurrection body. Our spirits will now be completely perfected, so that no more sin, no more sorrow, any of all that stuff, all gone. We are a resurrection people now. We will be changed, for the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. Because if it doesn't, you're not going to be with Jesus. That's the way it is. So we, who are left still alive, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Wow. Well, what's going to happen there? We're going to be caught together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So I put a question, what happens when we learn to fly? You are going to fly, you know. And you won't need a pilot's license. No. You'll be all right. They've just developed a new form of, what's the word, emergency care. This chap can go up a mountain, one of these flying equipment. You won't need that, brothers and sisters. No. You won't need that. Because gravity won't affect you.
No.
That's amazing, isn't it, right? But anyway, there we are. Let's see what happens when we learn to fly. And I've got two things here. Men of Galilee, these are the angels speaking to the men who had seen Jesus ascend into heaven. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So he went on the clouds, he's coming back on the clouds in his glory. And so that's how he's coming back. And he says, you're going to see that. I've got an interesting question for you. I don't think we know the answer, but have a guess anyway. Jesus has left heaven.
Yes,
he says that. He descended from heaven. The believers on earth, either dead or alive, who've been raised with resurrection bodies, we are caught up. It's called the rapture, by the way. Yes?
Yes.
We're caught up. Rapture means to catch hold of. Yes. And he's caught us up to be with him in the air. Now then, we're not in heaven.
No.
We're not on earth. We're in the air. What are we going to do? Well, I'm just offering you this. I don't know, and I don't think anybody else does, but we can make some guesses, of course, right?
Yeah.
But we're resurrected, we're in the air,
yeah.
Jesus is going to take us somewhere. Right? Now then, the thing is that one day Jesus is going to stand on the Mount of Olives.
Yes.
Says that.
Yes.
On that day, his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives that lies before Jerusalem on the east. Now, some have suggested, is that when we become airborne, we're going to take a trip to Israel.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? And rule with the Lord. I don't know. As I say, I don't know. And I don't think Daniel knew either. So I'm staying in Daniel's company at the moment. But anyway, we're not in heaven. And we're not on earth. The old earth. Right, so, we're with the Lord in the clouds. For the moment. But we're not in the Lord, with the Lord in the clouds for a moment. Because he says, and so we will be with the Lord forever.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be with the Lord forever. So it doesn't matter what Jesus does after that, you're going to be with him. Is that good?
Yeah,
as far as wherever the future is, and as I say, there's some interesting thoughts about this, we'll have a look sometime next week. But whatever the future is, you are going to be with Jesus forever. In other words, it's sorted as far as I'm concerned. When I get to see Jesus, I shan't need to worry about anything else. Yeah. Neither will Daniel.
Yeah.
And at that point, wherever it comes, whatever it is, we're with the Lord forever, and ultimately, we're aiming towards this. We're looking forward, as Peter says, to a new heaven and a new earth. That's the ultimate.
Yes.
The final state, the new heaven and the new earth, the last chapters of Revelation, of course. And we describe there, in this wonderful description, when we're with the Lord forever, with him. You know, what's the best bit about, we call it heaven, but it's a new creation really there.
Yeah.
What's the best bit about it? Is it the flowers and the trees and the beauty and the wonder of it all?
Yeah.
Being with Jesus, isn't it? And like I said, he's the hub, the centre of it all. That's what makes it all real and worthwhile. Anyway, he says this. This is John's vision that he had. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, why was the voice loud? Well, God speaks loud, I suppose. He can't speak in whispers, of course.
But
get the message, yeah? Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.
Mm-hmm.
So, when we're looking forward to Jesus' return, those that have died are going to be raised, we're going to be caught up to be with him in the air, and ultimately we're going to be with the Lord forever.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to ultimately dwell in this new heaven and new creation, and serve and glorify him as we always wanted to do. Praise the Lord. And therefore, final verse in this little section is, therefore encourage each other with these words. Right? He's actually saying that you have to be encouraging others by telling them, that's what's going to happen to us, you know.
Yeah.
Don't you know that, yes?
Oh, yeah.
And I've just written this down here, if this doesn't encourage you, then nothing will.
Yeah.
And remember, this is really important, and we're going to be touching on this next time. Paul's writing to Christians who are facing persecution.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the heat is getting hotter. And as the time went on in the Roman Empire, the Christians were sent to the fires and the lions, you know. Persecution really came on with the vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's saying, it's to these believers, he's saying, it doesn't matter what happens to you in this world, ultimately, you've got something coming that far
better
than that. And Paul, in his wonderful way of phrasing it, he says, brothers, I do not consider our light and momentary afflictions worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed. Light and momentary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was stoned several times, beaten up quite a long time, left for dead once, shipwrecked several times.
Mm-hmm.
That's light and momentary. Well, thank you, Paul. But he's right. It's not worth comparing with the glory.
Mm-hmm.
And those, and maybe you've come across on various TV programs these days, there seems to be quite a few people. We had one brother here, didn't we, who died and gone to glory, Ian McCormick.
Yeah.
Yeah. These people who have seen the glory, yeah, this world doesn't have quite the same attraction anymore.
No.
You know, they're here to share what God has shown them and to tell, but you know, there's a better place. And we're going there.
Yeah.
And you're going to fly.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
Same here.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, let's pray, shall we?
Yeah.
Thank the Lord for his grace. Oh Lord, we're so grateful for the hope that we have. And it's all in Jesus, Lord. If he hadn't died and risen again, there would be no part of this story for us at all. But we bless you, Lord, that it's true. And we want to thank you, Lord, that we who are alive, Lord, may one day be caught up to be with you in the air while we're still alive. Lord, if that's the case, well, thank you, Lord. But Lord, we thank you too for those of our brothers, our family, our brothers and sisters who've gone before us already. Lord, thank you that they will come back to resurrection bodies, Lord, with their glorified spirits. We bless you, Lord, that there is a hope that is so amazing, oh God, that you should do that for us. Lord, we want to thank you and bless you in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Amen.